If you were here this morning, you know that our brother Earl has been having some further problems. I talked to him this afternoon. He's some better at this point, but I hope you get the picture. It's rather unpredictable as to what's going to happen. And that can be distressing. You know, when he was up last night 9 times, and that's stressful. Your heart, the most powerful muscle in your whole body, that's the heart. There's no muscle in your body as strong as this member that pumps blood. But when that takes a turn for beating so rapidly, you just have it beating in your breast, that's distressing. And so I hope and pray that we will remember Earl and recognize that it is a very difficult time for him. Earl is faithful in his commitment to serve the Lord and to serve the Lord's people, and the Lord has used him, and he enjoys serving the Lord in whatever way he can. The Awana program, he's been a tremendous help, and so please don't forget Earl. Remember him. It's very important that we hold him up. It's a distressing time for him. I shared with him what we've looked at some this morning. And I want to just say this before I get started with what I have to say. We were looking at the 17th chapter of Luke's Gospel. You can change it, look there if you like. But the latter part of that whole experience, of that group of people, 10 in number, that were lepers. And I went back to the book of Leviticus and kind of reviewed what a loathsome disease leprosy really is. Leprosy is a horrible disease. The priest could not heal a person with leprosy from his leprosy. He could declare him to be clean, but he couldn't clean him. But the Lord Jesus could just speak words. Just say the word, and people that had that disease could be healed. What happened in this particular account of the Lord Jesus Christ healing those that were found with this disease, something is revealed that's sad to say. It reveals a whole lot about those that have been healed, not of just leprosy, but there's been a healing of the soul. That thing that has held us captive, the god of this world, by sin. How much do we appreciate being delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? Well, what we read about this one person, that 10 were healed, it says that there were 10 that were cleansed. But the Lord Jesus asked the question, where are the 9? Didn't but one come back and say, I really thank you and praise you. And he bowed down. It says, were there not 10 who returned, but only one has returned to give glory, except this foreigner, this person that was a Samaritan? Not a person that was well expected and respected because of his his role as a Samaritan, like the Samaritan woman. And this brings to surface sometimes differences that are ours in the course of life. We don't like people because of their nationality or some other reason that we don't like, and we just develop a dislike. And that kind of turmoil is in the world today. And my, it's a horrible condition. Won't it be a wonderful day when there we are in the Lord, with the Lord, and we're in the body of Christ, every one of us, and we're Christ-like. I was crucified with Him. I have a new life. I have a new lifestyle. All of those things that were so petty, all of those things that there's really no basis other than fleshly impact upon my life, carnality, rules and reigns. And I have all of these things in my life that rob me of what the Lord wants to see in me. Well, that's what happened in this particular case, and in some fashion, it does reveal to us the condition of heart that existed among those that were healed. I'm so thankful. They didn't have any water this morning. That's good. But look what change took place in that man's life. Healed of his leprosy. And we sought to focus upon that. And we sought to bring into a condition in our own hearts and minds of what it's like to be delivered from the penalty of our sin. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Lord said to this man, I want you to arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well or whole. And you know, in stressing for those people that were present here this morning, how our hearts and minds should be so centered upon the person of Christ, this wonderful divine gift that God has given to us. The precious gift of God is eternal life through faith in our Savior. And we've responded in a way that is well-pleasing to the Lord. It says of this man some things that it's easy to understand. He returned and gave glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that in the course of life that as we look at what is before us tonight, that we have a perspective on life of the most important thing I'll ever do is be like the Lord Jesus. While I'm living here, change has been wrought. I've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm something entirely different from what I used to be. I'm not the same person I used to be. Oh, there's a remarkable change. And you can see it, and you should be able to see it. You know, as you read in the book of Genesis about Enoch, and I was just reading that this afternoon, it says Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. His way of life, his manner of life was well pleasing to the Lord, and it says the Lord took him. the Lord took him. He was well pleased with him. He was the seventh from Adam. He had experienced a long life, but he had walked with God. I spoke to a man on Friday afternoon over at the Pittsburgh Christian Village, and we were talking about how important it is to walk well-pleasing to the Lord. He had quite a bit to say about that. I remember him bringing a message about that one time. But how we walk, how we behave ourselves in first response to God for what He has done for us is all important. The man that was healed of his leprosy was very appreciative of what God had done for him. He recognized in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that He had done something for him that no one else could do. No one else could heal you of your sin. No one else could change you into a new creation in Christ Jesus. People can reform. People can be different. They can be better. But not good enough to be like the Lord Jesus. The only possible way that we can ever achieve what God wants us to achieve and live up to His expectations is to do it God's way. And that can only be achieved when we recognize that we died with Him, we were buried with Him, we are new creations in Christ Jesus, and we're walking in this life in a manner that is well-pleasing to the Lord. That's important. And if you think about it, how could we do anything less? We certainly ought to be appreciative enough that my whole lifestyle would change and I would want to do something that would please the Lord. He should be well-pleasing with me. God looked at Enoch in his lifestyle. He was well pleased with what he could see in that man's life. It wasn't long after that before God made a judgment call on mankind. What he saw on the face of the earth and how mankind was behaving himself, Scripture says it grieved him of what he beheld among men. This water is doing me a lot of good. Why is it that we have any difficulty at all as far as measuring up to this expectation that God has of each one of us as a believer? We're new creations in Christ Jesus. Christ lives in me. The life I now live, it manifests what we see in Christ. Others should see the Lord Jesus in you and me. That's important. The change that needs to take place. Well, as I think about this, just a few weeks ago, we were thinking about what conditions are like today that we can recognize, should recognize, because it's essential that we recognize the changes that have been wrought, because that's the way God planned it. And I used a passage of Scripture, as you recall, if you were here, it's found in 2 Timothy, that this is what the Apostle Paul had to say in the 2 Timothy, reading at verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Know this, that in the last days there will be perilous times that will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power, and from such people turn away. It don't take long to recognize what a person really is by the way he behaves, the values that he has in life. And Paul is reminding us that we're living in perilous times. Last days, as he reveals it to us, the last days started with the first advent, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it has lasted until this very present day, and it will last until he comes again. But I thought, as I looked at that this afternoon, I said, you know, God has taken care of every detail of what it should be like for you and me as we live in these last days. The Spirit of God. That was one of the things that was borne out, I thought, so plainly in this particular situation. We have the Holy Spirit. You remember on the day of Pentecost that the Lord Jesus had made a promise. You will receive power after that the Spirit of God has come upon you. You will be witnesses unto me in the world in which we're living today. You'll have power to be a witness for me in the world. That's all important. It doesn't hurt to ask ourselves the question, do I recognize the sovereign work of the Spirit of God working in me? Does it really make a difference that He dwells in me? What can I do to recognize that He dwells in me? Well, let Him rule and reign in your heart. For someone to take control of your life, you have to yield control of your life over to Him. I tell you, it's a sad thing to what some people will yield the control of their life over to. I think of the drug culture today. We witnessed something just recently that was so sad, I don't even like to think about it, about a family. And out of this family, several young people in that family had gotten swept up into the drug culture of our day. These lives had just been devastated by the control that drugs can have over a person, young, old, and all ages. There's no limitation. To look at our lives and say, my life is controlled by the power of God. The Spirit of God indwells me. The Spirit of God fills me. And I am living my life under His control. You can't allow sin to come in. And if sin does come into your life and it remains unconfessed, your life is no longer under control by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the only one that can recognize, He's the only one that can reform and bring about this conviction in our soul of our sin so that we cry out to God, I confess my sin. I don't want me to lose control over my life from the source that gave me this life. And when people begin to forget that, and they begin to live their lives the way they want to live their lives, and this happens to believers, we're no longer controlled by the Spirit of God. But all of those works of the flesh, all of those things that are so contrary, displeasing to the Lord, they become a part of our lives. That's a sad day in our lives. So the Spirit of God has authorized, in a sense, God has sent His Spirit of God, His Spirit as an agency to take charge of us and to guide and direct us in the pathway of righteousness for His namesake. We have another comforter. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ says in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. I'm going to give you another comforter. I'm going to give you one that is just like me. And He's going to guide and direct you, and it will always be in perfect accord with the will of God. If I decide that I can improve on it, or, sad to say, I'm no longer controlled by the Spirit of God, but the old self-life has resurrected itself in my life, and now I'm living under the control of the flesh. You know, the world, the flesh, and the devil are our enemies, and they would have us to act in a way that is not controlled by the Spirit of God, but we're doing it our way, and we're being led and directed, being tempted and led by the world, the flesh, and the devil. So, when God says that He wants us to allow the Spirit of God to have that kind of control, it's all important that we recognize it, respect it, and abide by it. I think it was J.N. Darby that had something to say about the presence and the operation of the Holy Spirit should be the power of God resident in every believer's life. And that's true. We are. I read a book at one time, and I remember how the writer of that book drew a picture of allowing someone, it pictured someone coming to dwell in another person's life or in his home. And he was a guest there. The Spirit of God is pictured as a guest in our living with us. But he's restricted in where he is allowed to have control. Oh, you can come into the parlor. Oh, I'll allow you into the dining room when we're having a meal. But there are other areas in that home you're not allowed there. It's off base for you to even go there. Well, we know. If I come to your house and visit and I'm there and I see your house and you show me the areas that you want me to come in and enjoy, but there may be some place there that if I go into that area, I go into a room and it's not prepared for you to come into my room, that room. That's not good. Well, isn't that such an easy picture to have set before us? The Spirit of God sometimes is so restricted. You might say, well, when I come to the church meeting, I feel like the Spirit of God has control of me and I'm interested in and my mind and my being is, and I'm behaving in a way not like I normally behave every day of my life because I restrict the work that the Spirit of God wants to have over my life. Mr. Darby said, Holy Spirit, faithful God, ever near the Christian side, gently lead us by thy hand. We're pilgrims in a desert land. And this world that we live in today, you know, some folks live like the life I live now, if I'm able to experience health and wealth and wisdom and all the things, that satisfies me. I'll just take it from now on. Well, I'm telling you, there's something better. And God wants us to get a grip on that. To be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord is going to be something so glorious that when we read the Scriptures and we read what it's going to be like, I'm ready for being with the Lord and like the Lord. But there are other things. We have the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, to obey authority is something we're well acquainted with. We live under laws, don't we? And we're glad we have laws. We're thankful that things are regulated. Because without some kind of order in the society that we live in, it's dangerous. It's even dangerous with the laws because people will not abide by, neither will they be subject to the laws that be. But it shouldn't be that way with a Christian. What the Lord instructs me to do and give me in the way of instructions, I should gladly accept that and say, I'm so thankful that I can respond as an act of obedience and respect and love for the authority of God. I wouldn't have it any other way than to have Him in control of my life. The Word of God teaches that. The Word of God teaches, as I mentioned this morning, you are not your own. You were purchased with a price, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. We are now new creations in Christ Jesus. And this little light of mine, I ought to be letting it shine, shine, shine like never before, because the days are getting darker and things are not getting any better. Too often we're reminded, you ain't seen nothing yet. Times are getting more and more producing more unhappiness. And things that we thought would bring happiness and satisfaction to our lives, it only lasts for a while. It says the pleasures of sin only last for a season. It's like children playing with toys. I've watched children that had an abundance of everything and parents lavished a lot of stuff on them, and they'd get something, and when they first got it, they were fascinated with it, and they played with it, and they had just a grand time, and you say, well, that's wonderful. You might see them the next day, and the toy is cast aside, done, forgot about it. That's the world we live in today. I'm told that some of the most unhappy people in the world are people that have just plenty of money. They have plenty of everything. And they are the most unhappy people in all the world. What do you gather from that? Things do not make you happy. But I tell you this, you can really not have a whole lot of this world's goods, and you can find joy in your soul like you never found before. It's wonderful to know the Lord and have Him to ignite in these souls of ours by His Spirit a sense of appreciation, a sense of joy and peace. The world can't give it to you. And all the money in the world can't give it to you. You can have a big bank account. You can have wealth beyond our imagination, and it still does not satisfy. You read in the paper sometimes some person that was a popular person, and they gained a whole lot we might call it advancement in life along a successful route that just led to success upon success, and now they ended their life. They couldn't find satisfaction. But the Word of God, if we live and abide by this Word, the faith that it produces in our lives, it will indeed bring joy to our souls. In Hebrews chapter 4, and I mentioned this the other night, we have the throne of grace that God has set before us and invites us to come. When you need help, when you need something to boost your spirit and lift you up, you need to be rescued from some of the things that are in the world, I invite you to come to the throne of grace. And you will find that I am a merciful God. I am a loving God. It's not God's will that any of us should perish. And for God's children, it's not God's will that we go through life just stumbling along. And I just mentioned to a brother back here as we came in tonight, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. Well, we're not supposed to be under our circumstances. I cast my burdens upon Him. I'm at the throne of grace. He wants me to come and unburden all those things that are in my heart that are causing me so much trouble and distress. And that's how loving and wonderful our God is. He wants His children to, of course, live in perfect obedience to His will and His way for us. I am members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a member of that glorious body that has been established on the face of the earth, comprised of members of the body of Jesus Christ. And you have to be a believer in Him to find entrance into that body. That true experience of being in the church, the body of Christ. I think one of the tragic things that you discover is that some people interpret going through some sort of ritual and signing your name on a piece of paper, being accepted by a board of people that make that judgment call on you as to where you stand with the Lord, and you're introduced into the church. And very often, their whole understanding of what the church really is nothing more than a building. It's a fellowship of people that come together that have ideas, have their own sense of what they enjoy, and so often abiding by the truth that's found in God's Word is not found there. I just mentioned at the outset that in our bulletin, we put on that bulletin the things that we believe. And you know, that's all important. I have told people that sometimes we'll ask and say, well, what do you, as a group of God's people, what do you think is important? Well, I say, keep this handy, because I believe the Bible is the divinely inspired Word of God, the inerrant Word of God. I believe that our God is the Creator of all things. All of these things are plainly spelled out, telling those that visit us, people that know us, people that find their way into Northgate Chapel, that indeed this is what we believe. And it's supported by what we find in the Word of God. That's all important. We don't want them to have any questions in their mind as to where we stand in relation to our God. We have a fellowship. We have a relationship with God that is found and based upon the Word of God. It says the early church met together, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, the breaking of bread, something that we find ourselves assembled here on Sunday morning in prayers. That's God's pattern for the church. That's what God wants us to do. That's what God wants us to be involved with, doing those things that are well-pleasing to Him. And I should have a desire in my heart to do something that pleases the Lord. I've heard people tell about a lady I knew, how she loved to please her parents. She said early on in her life, and she was just so glad that it was this way. She said, I just love to do things to please my mother and father. And you know, she said later in life, my parents told me that they felt like I was a gift from God to them. Isn't that wonderful? To have a child that is so submissive to your will and your way, wants to do everything to please you, to do it your way, because your way is the right way. That should be our attitude toward the Lord. I want to do, Lord, what you want me to do. The Spirit of God empowers me. I'm not lacking in power. I have the Word of God, which certainly provides the direction I need. It instructs me. It increases my understanding and appreciation for the things of God. I'm invited by God when I have problems to come into His very presence, unburden my heart. And when I do it God's way, God is well-pleasing with me. And finally, after those things that we've just mentioned, we find that on prayer meeting night, we can come here and we can share together those things that are upon our hearts. You come and you listen to what is mentioned. This is what concerns this group of people, these people that know the Lord, these people that want to live their lives in a way that is well-pleasing to the Lord. They want to bring delight. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's a wonderful experience. And like the young lady that loved to please her parents, let us seek by the grace of God to want to please our God with the way that we walk in the course of life. We have a wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. Man that was healed of the leprosy came back. He fell down at the feet of the Lord Jesus and he thanked Him. He worshiped Him. He praised Him. And certainly our minds and souls should never lack an appreciation at any point in day or night. If I awaken in the night and I'm wondering why I'm awake, well, think about just offering up praise and thanks to the Lord for what He's done for you. The Lord would be well pleasing with that. There's so many experiences in life that the way we respond tells volumes about you and me and how much we appreciate what God has done for us. And in it all, we can say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Yes, we're living in the last days. Yes, these are the distressing times that we live in. It says perilous times, distressing times. But we're in Christ. And He is in us. And He delights to tell us, I'm coming. I'm coming very soon to receive you unto myself. And in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel, He could remind us that He has said to the Father, Father, it's my will that they be with me where I am. I like that. The Lord Jesus wants you as a believer in Him to be with Him, to have you with Him, to show His love and all that He has that will just bring a thrill into our souls like we've never had before. I'm not lacking any appreciation right now as the limitations that each one of us have in thanking Him and praising Him. But so often we find that sometimes it's so easy to forget. Sometimes it's so easy to lapse into a condition of heart that we're not responding the way that is well-pleasing to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee tonight that this little time spent around the Word of God and thinking about the glorious, glorious provisions that You make for Your children. You want us to be happy as children of God. You want us to be obedient and walking in a pathway of righteousness for Your namesake. We take Your name, Lord. We call ourselves children of God. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Oh Lord, you think highly of us. And let us think very highly of all of your loving care for us. And desire in our hearts that we would have our lives well-pleasing to thee, Lord. And as we await the shout, as we live daily thinking about the coming of the Lord, send the thrill and the note of enjoyment and praise and thanksgiving to thee for such a wonderful Savior that made it all possible for us to be safe and secure in him. In his lovely name we ask this. Amen.